Hello, 90s footy fans. Welcome to episode 73 of the 90s Club Footy Podcast. This week, we catch up with former Essendon, Fremantle and St Kilda midfielder, Tony Delaney. Tony, a Western Australian football product, was selected by the Essendon Football Club with pick 12 in the 1992 AFL National Draft. He spent two seasons playing at Windy Hill, recording 15 games. Then at the end of the 1994 season, he was traded to the Fremantle Dockers, allowing him to return to his home state. He spent five seasons with Fremantle, playing a further 28 games before moving to St Kilda and playing under ex-teammate Tim Watson. In this episode, Tony talks about moving to Victoria and lining up with Essendon, being at the club during their 1993 Premiership year, how and why he joined Fremantle, State of Origin football, and playing with the Saints. I hope you enjoy the 73rd member of the 90s Club Footy Podcast, Tony Delaney.
Tony Delaney, thank you for joining me on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Really looking forward to having you on, mate, and reflecting on your AFL journey.
Good to be here, Trent. Always love talking 90s footy.
Yeah, it is the best. There's no doubt about it. Hey, mate, what are you doing with yourself at the moment, I guess, post-football? And do you still have any footy involvement this day and age?
I kind of do through my current work. I'm a teacher by profession, Trent, but I've been working with an organisation called the Clontarf Foundation for a number of years now, sort of all around Australia, based back in Perth now, but it's taken me sort of, yeah, as I said, all around the country, and had a great time doing it. Been doing it for 17 years now, and my old Dockers coach is actually still my boss, mate. So I haven't progressed far when it comes to that part of things anyway. But thoroughly enjoy.
Different boss compared to what he was on the footy side of things. I reckon it'd be a bit of a different comparison of how he runs Clontarf in comparison to how he runs the Fremantle Football Club.
Oh, similar, but he's still a very lateral thinker, Jared. And I know there was a lot of talk about his game style when he came out in 1995 was very different, and in a lot of ways, what Clontarf do is something very different as well. So, yeah, no, he hasn't changed too much.
Mate, your AFL journey began with the Essendon Football Club in 1993. You're a first-round draft selection. Did you think you were going to go that early? Did you think that the Bombers was going to be your destination? What were your initial thoughts when it all occurred?
Look, I don't know is the answer to all of that. I think that the draft was something that wasn't as big a deal as it is these days. I didn't even hear it. I found out by a family friend that I was going to Essendon. They heard it on the radio and rang up the old landline at the folks' house where I was staying. I was only 16 at the time. And so it was a bit of a surprise. We had had a little bit of a chat with Essendon, but I'd had a bit of a chat with a few other clubs as well. It was a surprise, but it was a welcome one.
You were a Perth native, obviously. How big was it of a thing for you to personally pack up and go to Melbourne and to play AFL footy, considering you were drafted pretty young too? You were 16, obviously 17 when you went to the Bombers. So that would have been a pretty big thing for you and your family.
It was, Trent. I think back, back in the early 90s, when I did get drafted, footy was still in that sort of semi-professional bracket. And the part of the deal with going over there was that, you know, they offer you a job and you train. And back those days, it was only three nights a week that you trained. You played on the Saturday, and then everyone went to work on a Monday. So that was all part of the deal as well. But that pretty quickly changed come the mid-90s when the AFL Players Association did one of their first, I guess, big bargaining agreements and got some better conditions for the players.
I love finding out about a player's first ever pre-season. So how was the first pre-season with the Bombers? How did you cope? Was there anything that you felt you did really well? Was there anything that you battled with during that first pre-season back with the Essendon Footy Club?
Oh, look, it was all pretty new. There were some pretty seasoned campaigners running around at the Dons back then, and I've got a vivid memory of doing an ab workout with Chris Danaher in one of my first couple of weeks there, and I just did whatever he was doing because, you know, as a young fella, that's what you do. And he's a pretty intense trainer, CD, and I couldn't walk for 3 days afterwards. I was hunched over. The old abs hadn't had a workout like that, and I had to miss a training. So I think it was the only training session I missed when I was at Essendon, was the day after, or it might have even been the day after the day after, because I just couldn't handle that. But I soon got up to speed.
You must have impressed the coaching staff during that preseason, mate, because you debuted in the opening round of the 1994 season. How did you get the news, and can you remember the reaction you had when you finally found out that you were going to make your debut?
Yeah, it was actually the 93 season. So I got drafted in the 92 draft. And as you said, moved over as a 16-year-old, but turned 17 later in December. And then, yes, the when the season proper started, I think it was more of a Kevin Sheedy, you know, left field one, that one. He played me in the first game. I had played a couple of the scratch matches and done okay. And he threw me in there because we were playing the West Coast Eagles, and I think he thought it would be a bit of a draw card for the game, as Sheeds did. And I think he might have just thought, oh, we'll give him one game and then drop him. But I actually did okay, so he had to play me the next week as well. But it was definitely a whirlwind. I'd gone from, you know, playing Claremont Colts, kicking off the dew at 9 o'clock in the morning at Claremont Oval to running onto Subiaco, a packed Subiaco Oval in 1993, the year after. You know, the Eagles had just won the flag as well, and Essendon would go on to win that flag in 93. So, yeah, it was all pretty fun and pretty exciting.
You had a great first game, as you said, 18 touches and a goal, and against, I get, in your home state as well. So that must have been a nice feeling to have family and friends watching and so forth. How did you sort of feel, and I know it's a long time ago, but the standard of the game, a lot quicker and a lot probably more physical than what you were playing when you're playing at, in the Colts and the Waffle?
Yeah, it definitely was. I think, I look back at some of the season campaigners that I was one playing with and also playing against, you know, Mark Harvey, Bomber Thompson, you know, Paul Salmon, these types of guys, and then playing against guys like John Worsfold, Guy McKenna, Craig Turley, Chris Mainwaring, all these guys that I'd grown up looking up to and watching on the telly. I definitely felt the pinch that night, but you know, being a 17-year-old, it didn't stop me from getting out on the tear. Even though we lost the game, Trent, I think I celebrated maybe like we'd won, but it was good fun.
Kick it too far underneath the ball. Guy McKenna overruns it. Charge for Hills. Charge for Alessio. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Second chance. He still can't kick the goal. Excellent play. Can Delaney kick one? White's got him.
Delaney's kicked it. Got it.
Yes.
Obviously, the first year you played was the year of the Baby Bombers. Despite not playing in the grand final, Tony, it must have been great being involved in the club in that successful environment of 93.
It was, Trent. It was great. It was, as you know, and as most people from back then do know, Essendon really weren't expected to go that well because they did have such a very young team. It was just something that just continued to build throughout the year. I think by the end of the year, there was just that really good mix of young, enthusiastic, energetic players combined with your, like I said, your Bomber Thompsons, your Mark Harveys. Tim Watson had made a comeback. And so it was fantastic to line up alongside a guy like that and be in the same club rooms as a guy like Tim, Paul Salmon and these types of fellas, Michael Long. So there was a really good mix of that old and young, and it obviously worked.
94, you played a lot more games. Was there anything that you worked hard on during the preseason? Was there some advice that was given to you by the coaching staff to say, hey, Tony, you know, we want to see you play more games, but we need you to work on this element of your game? Or is it just getting an opportunity and really grabbing it?
I was probably a little bit of pull your head in, son. Stop carrying on the weekends and the likes and all that type of stuff. Which I think happens to most young fellas when they move away from their state and discover life outside of their home. I think my body had matured a bit by then. I'd sort of got a bit more of a grasp on what was expected on and off the field, and I was sort of just getting into the routine of AFL.
That was also your last season, 1994 at the Bombers. You moved back to WA to join the Fremantle Dockers as a foundation player. How'd that all occur? Was there much discussion with the Dockers? Had they contacted you or your managing group to say, listen, we wouldn't mind getting Tony back to WA to join this new entity? Sort of how did it all transpire?
I think most of that happened behind closed doors, to be honest, I think. Trent, I had one catch-up with Jared Neesham, the inaugural coach of the Dockers, Dale Kickett, who was playing at Essendon at the time in 94, was very good mates with Jared, still is. And he just, you know, casually said to me one over, hey, you know, come on, I'm going to go have a beer with Jared, who I knew. He was the league coach of Claremont when I was playing Colts there in 92. So I did know him. Yeah, no worries. And there was no talk about we're going to have a chat about you coming to Freo. I think clearly once I left that meeting, that it was pretty clear that Jared was pretty keen to get me back. However, there was no real, do you want to come? This is how we're going to work through this. And obviously Jared and the Dockers and Sheedy and the Bombers had been having conversations behind closed doors, and the deal obviously got done. I would have been happy to have stayed at Essendon. I was happy to go back to Freo. So for me, it was a little bit of a, oh, yeah, rightio. If this is what everyone wants, I'm happy to go along. And clearly, I think for Essendon, they got that Matthew Lloyd out of it. So that they were pretty happy and probably still are. and I got to go home. And I think Fremantle, Dale Kickett, might not have been the best player to ever play at Fremantle, but he sure is a lot of people's favourite player to play at Fremantle over the years. So, you know, that was a win for Freo.
Yeah, I reckon he played his best football at Dockers personally. Dale Kickett obviously played at four clubs, but I reckon his time at the Dockers was pretty good. So they got a nice play there. Plus yourself, mate, you played with some good distinction in the games that you played. There's no doubt about that. What was the first preseason like for Fremantle? Obviously, new entity. Obviously, probably not the setup quite like, you know, your West Coast Eagles at that stage, you know, everything sort of getting put into place slowly but surely. What was it like that first pre-season for Freo?
Yeah, it was a strange one, that one, because we didn't have club rooms, we didn't have a training facility. So we actually spent the first pre-season training on just local suburban parks. It was a Troy Park in Attardale, suburb of in Melville in Fremantle sort of area. We would scout the ground, picking up sticks and pieces of glass before we trained. So it was really exciting because it was a new club. There was a big buzz around the place. New players come from all over the place, and lots from the Waffle and Waffle Reserves and the likes. So look, it was super exciting. It was a real buzz around the place, and I feel really honoured to be a part of that.
How did you feel the club was prepared? Were they prepared going into that very first round?
I don't think we really knew, because many of the guys hadn't played AFL before. Some of us had, but I was young and really unproven. But, lots of the guys, like I said, had come out of Waffle Reserves. Winnie Abraham and the likes, Scotty Chisholm, had played a few league games, ended up, going on to poll quite a lot of Brownlow votes that year, but it was the Tigers. And look, we ended up losing by less than a goal, and so we gave it a real shake. And I've got a vivid memory of the flight home once we got back to the airport. Again, it was back in the day where you're allowed to have a beer after a game. Trent and Jared and Neil Danaher, who was an assistant coach at the time, had clearly had a few as well, and they got rather bullish about our hopes and pulled us all in and gave everyone a little parting pep talk at the airport and tried to inspire us and fire us up for the next game. It was fun. It was fun times.
And then I think your first win, correct me if I'm wrong, was against Fitzroy at the Witten Oval. I reckon it might have been round three of that season. That must have been great to finally break through for that first win and get the job done there. And then obviously the week after, I think you played Geelong in that first home game win as well, which I think Geelong were going all right at that stage. And to upstage the Cats would have been a nice little feeling too. So a good couple of weeks for the Dockers in that early part of the season.
Yeah, I think that whole season, Trent, when we actually look back on it in hindsight, we came pretty close to making finals. I think we were only one game shy of the, I think it was an eight back then. I'd have to, you know, look up the records. But, yeah, we were one game short and we lost a couple of really close ones. The first game against Richmond, included in that by less than a goal. So if a couple of things had have gone our way, we potentially might have made finals in the first year. So it was, I think it was a reasonable effort once all said and done.
Good kick. Got to Delaney. Monkhorst hangs on for a long time. He's got players everywhere. Delaney.
50 metres back.
He has got 50. And he kicked a terrific goal to start this quarter. That was brought in to stop that. But you don't see enough penalised. Why do they pick one just out of nowhere? You just wonder also why Scott Russell didn't get a 50-metre about 5 minutes ago.
Well, he has got a new opponent. Michael Simons has been brought down from the forward line. And Tony Woods is coming off the ground for Collingwood. Mark Fraser on the ball.
Well, this will be the third goal in succession for Essendon if he kicks it and put them within 16 points. Delaney's shot.
That year in 1995, you got a chance to play some State of Origin footy for WA. I think you might have taken on the Allies. That must have been great to represent the state and play some rep footy.
It was fantastic. It's one of the, when you're pushing 50 like I am now, Trent, you look back on some of the things and I was very fortunate to have tarted myself around the AFL system for 9 years and definitely the first game. Playing in the first game for the Dockers and playing a State of Origin game along the likes of Nicky Winmar and Glenn Jakovich and some of these guys that I'd sort of idolised as a kid was fantastic. And playing against guys like Nathan Buckley, Wayne Carey in that game, it was awesome. It was great fun.
The next few years after 95, your games tally probably wasn't at the level where you would love to have played at. I think you had 6 and 8 games respectively. Did injuries play a bit of a part in that for you to restrict the amount of time you had on the ground?
Yeah, absolutely, Trent. I think in 1995, I started having quadricep problems, just repeated tears. And by the end of 96, like you said, I'd barely stepped foot on the field and they decided to operate on them. Hindsight, again, is a wonderful thing. Definitely wouldn't have had that operation if I know what I know now then. But I didn't play for, the best part of 2 years post that operation at all. It took a long time to recover from and I continued to get repeated tears because there was just more scar tissue from the operation that they did. So, yeah, look, didn't play heaps, frustrating, all of that. But, that's life. You've got to push on and carry on and I was pretty fortunate to get another crack at the end of it.
You also played in 3 games against the old arch rival in the West Coast Eagles during your time at Fremantle. What were those battles like?
Oh, they were great. I really looked forward to them. They were obviously a lot more mature, both physically and in games, than us at Fremantle. They were fun. At the end of the day, you want to play in front of packed crowds in high-pressure situations, and they were definitely, for Freo, who didn't play in finals in those first few years, they were sort of as close to a final as we could get. And so, yeah, loved playing in those games. They were great.
And obviously they had they dominated against you guys in the early part of your journey at Fremantle. Was it just, as you said before, was it just experience and so forth that they probably had over you a little bit more than what you guys had?
Yeah, I think so. I think at the end of the day, when you look back at that period of time, they were either winning grand finals or playing in preliminary finals. They had an outstanding team and we just put a team together type thing. And so, yeah, look, they definitely got the better of us, that's for sure. But we had a crack. We tried our best. And, I think it took us, 5 years or 6 years to actually win a derby. I think I'd actually left the club by then, to be honest, Trent. But, they were fantastic to be involved in, but they were a quality side. They had, premiership players, all Australians, Brownlow medalists, you name it. They had it in their team. So they were a quality unit, that's for sure.
I was looking through some YouTube stuff the other day and there was one game, it might have been one of the early ones that Fremantle played against West Coast. And I wanted to know whether you could remember running out through the inflatable shipping container against the Eagles. It might have been in the inaugural match against the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, I do remember that. We had the old Docker mascot that would carry the anchor and go and hoist it up on top of a rock. And yeah, no, that it was good. It was a little bit of Hollywood at Subiaco. It was good fun. I think they've done with all that stuff now, and the old dock has been replaced by someone else. But it was good fun.
How did you assess the first couple of seasons for Fremantle? Obviously, a new club joining, and you know, it takes a fair bit to be a really successful AFL club. How did you sort of assess the first 3 years? Did you go at the rate that you were expecting to improvement wise, or did you feel like you were a little bit behind where you guys wanted to be?
Oh, look, I think we were probably the first year, like I said, we didn't know. No one really knew how we were going to go, and I think we did quite well. I think by the third year, again, I think we missed playing finals by a game, maybe two, and that led to Jared getting sacked, which I think is probably the wrong decision. The chairman at the time, Ross Kelly, who's actually the chairman of the Clontarf Foundation, and so him and Jared have had a strange relationship over the years. He sacked him and as the coach of the Dockers, and I think he's come out and said, yep, bad decision, 20-odd years later. But, now they're extremely close friends, and they built the current organisation at Clontarf from having 25 boys in it in one school to, 11,000 plus, over 150-odd schools around the country. So I think, getting back to answering your question there, Trent, I think we did well, all things considered.
1999 was your last year at the Dockers, Tony. Did you expect that was going to be your last season at the club? Obviously, a change of coach and personnel over the last couple of years. Was it a surprise? Did it come to you as a surprise, or did you sort of half expect it, or...?
No, it wasn't a surprise. I think that, the reality is I hadn't played any footy for 2 years because of injury in 97, 98. I played a couple of games towards the end of 98 just in the waffle. And then in 1999, again, I started off in the waffle, was in and out of the waffle through injury and then strung a few AFL games together. But again, injuries and whatnot, I was sort of in and out. So no, it didn't come as any surprise to me at all, Damien Drum let me go. But I think I was fortunate. I played in a grand final for South Fremantle in the waffle that year, and did okay. And my waffle form was pretty good. And my old teammate, Tim Watson, was the new coach of St Kilda, and he gave me another lifeline, which was great.
Did you sort of think that maybe your AFL journey was just about at the end before you maybe got that phone call from St Kilda to say, listen, we're interested in maybe bring you over?
No, look, to be honest, back then I actually thought, no, I've still got a fair bit to give. I think my waffle form was pretty good. I was still pretty young. Yes, my quads were stuffed, but no one else knew that. Trent, I didn't tell anyone else that. At the end of that season, there were quite a few clubs that I'd spoke to. Sydney flew me over to Sydney and had some chats with them and got put through some training drills and testing, and that was all good. So I was actually reasonably confident that I'd get another crack. I didn't know that it'd be at St Kilda. To be honest, I thought I was going to go to Sydney, but who knows whether they were actually going to pick me up. I'll never know. I didn't ask Rodney Ead afterwards.
Your first season, I reckon, was arguably your best you've played in the AFL. You played the whole season at St Kilda. Gee, that must have gave you some real satisfaction considering, the years of injuries and missed games that you had previously.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great. I think, just to string a whole season together of playing every week, whether it was in, the firsts or the seconds, I would have been happy just playing week in, week out. But like you said, I sort of got my opportunity there in the seniors and played every single game that year. And that was really rewarding for me, even though we didn't have that much team success. Just to know that my body could hold up, even though it was only just holding up, Trent, it got through the season unscathed, and that was pleasing.
I really struggled to sort of I looked at the information the other night and just looked at the team that you had and the list that you had. You had some bloody good names on that St Kilda side, but can you sort of pinpoint why that season didn't go better than what it should have, like with the names that you had on that list?
No, like you said, again, really fortunate to be playing with some of the greats, you know, Robert Harvey, Stuart Lowe, Nathan Burke, you know, Aaron Hamill was in there, you know, and then you got the new guys coming through with Lenny Ansey and Justin Kaczynski, Nick Riewoldt, and Stephen Milne and all those types of guys as well. So, look, it was probably a bit of a transitional period. Those younger guys that I mentioned were probably too young to really make a significant impact. And so, you know, and then, you know, as history would show, we had some, it was a rather tumultuous time at the club with the comings and goings of three coaches in an 18-month period. So, so that might have something to do with it as well. Trent, the clubs, you know, from the top probably wasn't as stable as it might have needed to be.
You spoke about Timmy Watson. Obviously, you played with Timmy at Essendon back in the early 90s, and then he was obviously your coach at St Kilda for that first season as well. How'd you enjoy playing under Tim?
I loved it. You know, he's a great fella, Tim. He's got obviously got an exceptional football brain. Things didn't work out for him at St Kilda, unfortunately. I think that hurt him more than it hurt anyone else. He was really dedicated to it. He was dedicated to the players. But for whatever reason, and those reasons, you know, I'd be guessing if I was to throw anything at you, Trent, it didn't work out for him. But, yeah, I love playing under Tim. Great fella and someone that if I bumped into him now, I'd have a lot of time for.
2001 was your last season at the Saints. Once your time came to an end, Tony, how long did it take you to adjust to life without playing AFL footy? That transitional from obviously being a big part of your life for, you know, 9 years, and then obviously it's not there anymore. And then, you know, I guess you go back, you go into that working life now with maybe some waffle football on the side as well.
Yeah, look, obviously when you first, you know, come to the realisation, Trent, that, hey, well, that part of my life is over, it's a bit of a shock. And, you go through a little bit of a transition phase. And I know that a lot of players struggle with that. I think I was fortunate in the fact that I started playing AFL, like I said at the start of this, when it was semi-professional, so I had a job. And I kind of carried that on through my whole AFL career, whether it be working a little bit part-time or doing a bit of study. So I always did stuff outside of football. So I never felt that I was, you know, that I had nothing to go to. All that said, I took a gap year off and about 18 months, Trent, and travelled around the world just having a good old-fashioned look around the place and did a couple of seasons in the snow, and I had a fantastic 18 months, to be honest, out of ball, and didn't play any footy at all for 2 years. So, and then I actually, after, like, you know, being away for a couple of years, I got back to Perth, and as you do when you're wandering around the world aimlessly, I came back with a bit of a vision and some goals for what I wanted to do, and part of that was go and get a university degree. So I did. I went to uni. Started to become a teacher, and I was actually I wasn't going to play footy, but Ash Prescott, an old Dockers teammate of mine, was coaching Claremont, my old waffle club. Heard I was back in town and said, "Hey, you want to come down and see if you still got it?" And I did, and it was, you know, it was late in the pre-season by then, and I started training, and it really, you know, sort of reinvigorated my love of footy. I had a great couple of years at Claremont. We played in two grand finals, lost them both. But I was playing with guys that I'd played with when I was 15, 16 in the Colts there, being coached by Ash, an old teammate. I grew up on the same road as the Claremont Footy Oval, so it was kind of like a second home to me. And it really did spark up that love of the game again, which was fantastic.
Kelly trying to get through. Francis tackled. Ball spills for Denham. Gets it back to Delaney. Delaney going for his third goal. And I think he's kicked it. He has.
Hey, Tony, I've really enjoyed our chat, mate. Love reflecting on your footy journey. I've got a couple of quick handballs just to finish off our podcast chat for this episode. So I'm going to give you five names, five ex-teammates, just a word or two to describe these teammates that you played with. So the first one is from the Bombers, and I'll speak of Darren Buick.
Exceptional goal kicker. Never handballed.
I'm looking forward to this one. Chris Anaher.
Great fella. Heart and soul type of guy and an extremely hard worker.
I'm going to go to Fremantle now. Scott Chisholm.
The Prince of Pockets. Mercurial, did things differently and did things his own way. The old Prince of Pockets.
Sean McManus.
Yeah, old Macca. He's, again, heart and soul free. I'm a Freo fan. He's kind of like the unofficial king of the Fremantle Dockers over our way. Love him.
And the last one for the Saints, Ozzie Jones.
Ozzie Jones, again, loved a beer, loved a punt, but could kick a ball as well as anyone I'd seen. Good fella.
Who was your hardest opponent? Who'd you enjoy playing against or someone that you battled with a little bit?
Oh, look, I played on directly on Ben Cousins a couple of times in his heyday, and he was as hard a player as anyone I've ever played on, just for his pure endurance. I had reasonable endurance, but his work ethic was, for me, second to none. Him and Robert Harvey were probably on par from people that I played with or against.
Is there one win that stands out more than any during your career?
Not off the top of my head, no.
If you could choose a teammate to kick a goal after the siren, whether it be from Fremantle, Essendon or St Kilda, who would you choose? 45 metres, and I'll set the scene, 45, trailing by 5 points, you kick the goal, you win the game. Who's the person you'd hand the footy to?
I'm going to give it to the guy that did it at Subiaco one day from pretty much exactly what you said, 45 out, bit of an angle. God bless him. Rest in peace, Quentin Leach.
I love it. And I was hoping that you played in that game because I wanted to reflect on it, but I'd see you didn't play in it. But no doubt you would have been up and about the stands when Leachy put it through. That was one of a famous occasion for the Dockers.
It was. Like you said, I wasn't playing, but I was there, and I'll remember that for as long as I remember anything about footy. It was a good day. Great to have a good bloke like Leachy punch one through after the siren.
And mate, the last one. What do you prefer, the original Fremantle Football Club jumper or the current day jumper? If you could choose one that they'd wear week in, week out, where would you go? 90s jumper or current day?
Mate, the current ones, muck, go back to the 90s, Trent.
Love it. Tony Delaney, thank you for jumping on the podcast. Really appreciate your time. It's been great to reflect about your footy journey.
Good on you, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Handball over the top. Not too bad. Back to Young. Young gets past, then kicks in short. And the mark, diving mark taken by Delaney. Well, I'm not quite sure of Tony Delaney's ability to kick long distances. So we'll soon find out. He's got to kick this ball 50 metres to score. The player on the mark is about 46 metres from goal. And we see Olerenshaw leaving the ground, going to the medical room, as Delaney runs close to the man on the mark. It's a good kick. It's a goal.
That's the end of episode number 73. If you've missed any previous episodes, you can catch them all on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. We're on all the social media platforms, so drop us a line on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter on any particular episode you've enjoyed or a guest you would love to hear. Next week, our guest is Essendon Premiership player, David Calthorpe.
It's tough, it's rugged, it's good, solid AFL football.